This podcast has not been supported or sponsored by Moms for Liberty, Ron DeSantis' favorite all-American. Well, here we are, yet again, with Skinny Media, Mark, and Bubba Tron. And this one may seem a little bit deja vu to people who are listening, but we're going to be talking about parental guidance. Strongly caution for those under the age of 13. You know it. I know it. PG-13. It was me trying to be clever.
Right. Mission accomplished. Be generous.
Yeah. Well, because both of us are, well, I'm partly American, but Robbie's for English breakfast. You know, he lives in Cameroy. That's another story. We are going to be talking about it because of the 40th anniversary.
That's true. Also, I think we were going to want to add in two little talking points we neglected on our previous podcast. The one involving Westerns.
Oh, yeah, let's get to that for a quick moment. Well, we forgot to mention the Big Apple here. At least for me, of course, is Wild Wild West, which is one of my favorite Westerns, even though people hate it, because it's actually the first 12 certificate film I ever saw in cinemas. That was even before Spider-Man, and I remember it quite fondly. And it was a bit of a shitstorm, but that's beyond my point. For anyone who's curious.
Yeah. Also renowned for being a really bad film and the end of Will Smith's box office gold run in the mid to late 90s. I was also going to mention the film Django. Not Django Unchained, just Django from the mid to late 60s. Another one of his spaghetti westerns. Which had a bit of a tumultuous history 30 years due to the fact that BBFC just found it too violent to justify its existence and everything. And it wasn't until about 1993 when they finally released it, feeling that enough time that Dallas had changed a bit, but it didn't seem so violent by modern comparisons. So they released it on VHS with an 18 rating. And then 11 years later, in 2004, when it came out on DVD, they dropped it to a 15, admitting that the only reason it ever had an 18 to begin with was because of its history of censorship, and that really it was perfectly fine at 15 from the get-go. So that's interesting. I have seen said film. I watched it on Prime just a couple of years back. Obviously, again, by nowadays standards, very, very tame, but in comparison to most of the other spaghetti westerns for time, including the Dollars trilogy, yes, it is remarkably violent and even got a bit of sadistic bent to it. I'm not surprised John Trevelyan and his ilk were rather rubbed the wrong way, but I think it was John Trevelyan at the time, were rubbed the wrong way by it, and were acting like little pearl-clutching bitches because of it. But, yeah, hey-ho, all water under the bridge now. And
what are we talking about, shootings in this, like, you know, graphic bloody shootings or like dismemberment and scalping or stuff like that?
I think it was more, I don't think it's only scalping. I saw someone having his hands broken up and it was quite up close and personal with it. It's plus I saw the bad guys doing a whole place where they have a bunch of prisoners locked up in a pen. They let them loose and for a run and basically shoot, hunt and shoot them for fun. Kind of like in Hard Target. Of course, I don't think 60s audiences were ready for that then, at least not in Britain. God knows what trouble may have had with America and its Hays Code. I think a Hays Code was still in force by that point. So, kind of embarrassing that it was ever rejected in this country, but it's embarrassing that any film was ever banned in this country. I'm just lucky to live in a time where that doesn't really happen too much. But that's that.
Every now and again, it can appear. Usually, it's those sort of like old exploitation films, but you know, sort of like the sort of revenge theme. It's really nasty. Coincidentally, where I'm speaking to you right now, I'm just two blocks away from the BBFC building in Soho Square. Because I'm currently at the Soho Independent Film Festival, so anyone who's listening, this one is quite interesting.
Wow. Very interesting. I thought you were still in America for some reason. But anyway, that's enough of the last of those little caveats from the those little leftovers from the previous podcast. Shall we sink our teeth into the meat and bone? Meat and potatoes of today's subject.
If you want to, but let's mention about Poor Things for a quick moment, because there's been quite a bit of hoopla on the internet surrounding its 18th certificate and, you know, the fact that it was legally cut, not by category, but by a legal concern. For anyone who is curious, there are some reports around saying that the cuts that I received in the UK were actually for worldwide exhibitions, the way they framed a particular scene, which I won't give away, was shown in a certain way where the children and the adults were in the same frame, so there wasn't any sort of legal violation as far as that was concerned. The children aren't exactly involved in that particular scene. It's the adults doing the dirty business, but it's, some people might say, and I've heard even people regarding that scene, outside of that scene, saying the film's a bit paedophilic.
Well, yeah. That was basically the term, but yeah. They ended up, apparently that decision was made early on, and they've that cut version was the international version.
Right. Well, the reason why I brought it up was just so there wasn't any sort of confusion for people who were listening, because I'm sure that's been on gangbusters on Melon Farmers and all these forums asking, well, these Poor Things censored and all that sort of stuff. So we just want to get that one out of the way. Just like we talked about Barbie on our crime podcast, because there was so much hoopla about that one.
Right, yeah.
All right, but let's get okay. back to the PG-13 one. But that's where we want to really sort of focus our muscles on that one. Now, I don't think we're going to be censoring what we're saying on PG-13, well, we're going to be doing the U certificate. I'm trying to make that one very family friendly, but PG-13, you know, we're talking about films that even have got a 15 here. But, you know, because we're both not really American, partly I am, I'll just say, even from your personal experience, whether you've been to the US or even in the UK, what has been your early experience with the PG-13 rating? Because it came out a year before you were born.
Well, I mean, it's kind of hard to sort of go into my experience for it. I mean, bearing in mind, I've only been massively familiar with American rating systems for about the past 10 years, maybe, when I started following online American movie rating channels like Doug Walker, Nostalgia Critic, and Jeremy Johns and the like. And of course, they'd always talk about the ratings that the that films have, but of course, they go by MPA ratings. And of course, in my British mind, I'm thinking just purely in BBFC ratings. So of course, I'm looking them up and everything. And of course, yeah, okay, a PG-13 is their equivalent of a 12A rating. That's pretty straightforward. It's pretty easy to sync up. But of course, I mean, even without being American and everything, the PG-13 has made quite a bit of an impact, because what with these films generally being American, they are made with the MPAA in mind and made to get specific ratings. And of course, the PG-13 is the big money maker, so of course, the big studios are always aiming to get that PG-13 certificate. This was so whether or not you've been, whether or not anyone knows it, they have sort of been affected by the PG-13 rating, because that's probably the majority of films they've been watching. That, and again, how I can't stress enough, they've been specifically made to get that rating.
No, but it's true. No one's really thinking of the UK audience in mind. I know sometimes, Matt Vaughan or Edgar Wright might sometimes associate that because they are British, but most people, we're dropping a bucket. They're more focused on the Chinese market, even more so than America these days. But whether the relevancy of MPA is concerned versus Chinese censors, that's really a different story altogether. But yes, you can certainly notice it from a kilometer away. Sorry, mile away. Which country am I in? It's because when they put the obligatory F word, or they don't show violence that has that sort of bloody detail, or you only see like dead bodies, but there may be some blood smears, but nothing too gruesome. Or someone says, "I done her, dude. Come on, bro. Yeah." Or something like that. And they speak like bros, but they never really speak like actual bros. And maybe if someone is smoking like a joint or something, it's sort of off screen, or they don't really actually say what it is, you can tell.
That is true and everything. And of course, I mean, I've always sort of naturally, because as I mentioned earlier, because I think in terms of BBC ratings, I do ultimately compare the American rating system to ours. And just like I've said, I mean, very obvious the PG-13 is and our 12A are very much equivalent. And so above that, you've got R and you've got 15. So those are equivalent. And for most part, most PG-13 films do get rated 12A here. Most R-rated films do get rated 15. It's when there's a bit of a discrepancy that again kind of gets quite annoying, especially with the tendency to make things for the PG-13 market. Because when I'm sort of hearing a film's rated PG-13, my mind thinks, okay, well, when it's supposed to be rated 12A here, and when it doesn't get that and gets a 15, I mean, yeah, well, I say rarely, but it's actually less rare than I'd actually wish it to be, such as in the case of, say, Venom. I think, right, so there's fucking no point in you making that PG-13. You should have just made it R-rated and had done with it for all the good it did.
Well, a lot of it has to be, a monetary concern. But yeah, those sort of moments are the ones that turn the most interesting. Whether the PG-13 film gets the PG or the 15, those are the ones that sort of like, my eyebrows being raised. We've even seen that. Well, I mean, there's a lot of them. Most of them are majority horror films. But there are some ones that sort of make you scratch your head a little bit. Like, there was a movie called Book of Clarence, which for some reason they pulled out of schedule for the UK, but it just came out in the US. I haven't seen it yet, but I hear it's one of the few PG-13 movies to feature the word mother in it. That and John Q. And then the talking about like PG stuff. PG-13. Well, let's go back to the 90s, my friend. All my favorite films, like The Mask and
Oh
Small
yeah,
Soldiers,
that's
and Black and all PG-13, Edward Scissorhands. Oh.
that was cut.
Well, I know, but I always associate them with the Yellow Triangle. But if
Yeah,
had I seen them in
that's
America, I probably wouldn't have even been allowed to. And that would have
well,
bothered
that's
me.
the same with Men in Black and Memoirs of the Invisible Man because they were PG-13. And over here, they were cut for a PG rating, but the cuts were very minimal. So, I mean, they could be classed as PG-13 rated films. They got rated PG here. But of course, the mere fact they were just slightly cut just makes me think, maybe they don't really count. So I tend to think of the ones that were uncut PGs, like, and I've got my list already set up in my mind, Arachnophobia, Jurassic Park Trilogy, The Mask, Mission Impossible, Fifth Element, Small Soldiers, Roland Emmerich's Godzilla, although I don't know why that was PG-13, it's barely anything in it. And of course, The Crown, the absolutely crescendo and the absolute cherry on top, Fellowship of the Ring. All
Well, that
this
was one
because
last
the
days.
they did not have 12A at the time, they just had 12, so they had to be way more accommodating at PG. And of course, not surprisingly, some of these films have since been upgraded to 12A. Jurassic Park is the most recent, but Fifth Element and Fellowship of the Ring have since been upgraded to 12A. And I'm not going to lie, they kind of belong there. If a film like Frozen's going to be PG, those films can't be PG.
No, I mean, it just seems a little bit sort of, the scales don't weigh equally. And I'm even able to feel that about Jaws and Princess Mononoke, which are the two films at PG that I think really pushed the envelope. But Jaws still has its PG stateside because they never resubmitted it. I know Mononoke, that's PG-13. That's certainly one of the most violent PG-13 films I think I've seen. But then again, let me roll that back a little bit. Casino Royale and Kite Runner and Da Vinci Code really pushed the PG-13 to the core. They felt like rated R films to me.
The 2022 Batman film really pushed the PG-13 to the limit. I was thinking, no, they should have slapped an R on that one. That was brutal. Although we're going to... So then again, that is always found. I found that the PG-13 is the boundaries are so wide. It's almost wide enough to drive a freaking dump truck through. Because you look back at the late 2000s, and the PG-13 rating ranges from The Simpsons Movie and Golden Compass up into Drag Me to Hell and A Haunting in Connecticut. And
yeah,
I don't know if you've seen...
the same way as you are. Like, that's bizarre.
Because Simpsons Movie and Golden Compass were both rated PG in both Britain and Australia. And those other two movies, Drag Me to Hell and The Haunting in Connecticut, were rated both 15 in Britain and MA15 plus in Australia.
Yeah, that's really bizarre. That I can't even explain it myself. If they anything, they probably just should have shot the R rating. Sam Raimi does not hold back, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know if there's like some sort of unrated cut that they did on that one.
For the former, yes. I don't know about for the latter.
Well, nonetheless, that is quite a head scratcher there. But then again, you know. One of the first 15 films I ever saw was a PG-13 movie stateside. It was called Disturbia. That was originally rated R before they appealed it to the PG-13 because of violence. And seeing that when I did, that was quite an intense film. Even though, as far as blood and gore is concerned, it's not as gruesome as Jaws. It's not as gruesome as even Casino Royale. I don't know. I know I keep going on about Casino Royale and Da Vinci Code, so I'll try to limit talking about those two, because I've always said it to infinity because of the torture scene and the scene where a guy whips himself.
Oh, I know. Well, they are quite intense. And I was just looking up Disturbia. Oh, that was an M in Australia, so that's that. I was going to, both films were cut to get 12As in Britain, but of course, with Casino Royale, it was the torture scene. Although, as you recall from when we watched it around mine, the cuts were very minimal. I don't think they did much to reduce it. And with Da Vinci Code, while multiple scenes were cut to get the 12A, not to the whipping scene. That was you think that would have been singled out, but no. It wasn't.
Well, one would think, because it's got the self-harm element, there's also some nudity, not explicit, but yeah, it's the strange scene to show to anyone, really. That's like some sort of rated R type shit. It still gives me the heebie-jeebies to this day. I won't go on about it like I usually do. I know I go on about certain titles a lot, but... PG-13, like you said, it really runs the gamut. As far as like the mildest one I can think of, The Terminal is one I can think of. I love that movie. It's just Tom Hanks in an airport. That was mainly given just because of a bit of language. You can even hear like an 80s or 90s PG. It was 12A here. I thought that could have been a PG. And then, you know, strong stuff. Well,
I'm looking at some PG of those. Wait, do you mean the strongest PG-13s?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for you, I'm sure you've got a few, because I've already said mine.
No, I've just said Drag Me to Hell. Like, I was gobsmacked when I found out that was PG-13 in America, as gobsmacked as I was when I found out that Terminator 3 was R-rated. It's like, do they have any sort of, like, guidance or rules on of what they're actually doing in frickin' that MPAA? Because they just mean to make no fucking sense.
Sometimes they don't really, and you know, you have to wonder sometimes. I mean, just recently we've seen The Woman King, that was 15 here, but PG-13 stateside, and I must have seen it in France, and there was like assault, there's decapitation, a piece of dismemberment. I thought, what on earth is going on
in
here?
In France, did you say?
Yeah, it was all ages.
I fucking knew it.
Woman King is certainly one of the strongest PG-13 films I've seen in recent years. Also, let me add Sound of Freedom, which I know you won't see for political reasons, but I saw it mainly because of all the controversy surrounding it. And it's not so much what is shown, it's the dialogue and the themes and the implication of threat. That movie was nasty. Gave me in brass eye flashbacks. I probably thought the film should have been R-rated just because of the themes alone.
To be honest, Mark. Carry on.
Go on.
Well, no, I mean, I was just because you know, I like to always refer to that website, High Impact Classification.
Yes. You do.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I've got my reasons. I'm on it again right now, and of course I'm looking at its page of BBFC PG MPAA PG-13 for a lot of films that got those two ratings from those two boards. So these could be used for a more milder, well, I say more milder. Obviously, because you mentioned Princess Mononoke earlier, and you were right with like that being how violent it was. Needless to say, that appears on their list for this one, and they do admit that the MPAA got that one right. They say, who got it right? The MPAA, Princess Mononoke is not your typical Ghibli film, containing a high amount of stylized fantasy violence, including decapitations, limbs getting hacked off, pools of blood, etc. It should be a 12A/12 for sure, and even got a higher rating in Japan, where it's the only Ghibli film to have received a PG-12 rating. It goes on a bit. I'm not going to read it all out to you because I don't want to bore you. So, yeah, we can agree that's a very high PG-13 rating. That it got rated PG here just showed what Furman was like on animation. It's probably one place he actually was lenient. There are, of course, two other Ghibli films on this list that had the discrepancy. That would be The Wind Rises and Ocean Waves. And those could probably be described as very mild PG-13 films.
Oh, easily. I've seen Wind Rises. Neat little movie, by the way, but the only thing you really see is someone coughing up blood. And it's sort of incidental. I mean, I've seen a hell of a lot worse in PG animations. I mean, Simpsons movie is a good example of that, but Wind Rises probably could have been a PG, but I think they were a little bit too finicky about it, also because it's an anime or it's more adult-oriented. They thought, let's be a bit more cautious and raise the rating.
You would think so, but I've seen a lot of animes recently, mostly from the studio that gave us Susume, gave us things like films like Your Name and Weathering With You, which were given PGs in America, in spite of the fact they got 12 A's here. So that just throws that into, like, you're just wondering, well, what the hell's going on here? I mean, this doesn't seem very consistent.
I know, I feel the same way as you. I mean, even on the flip side, there was a Danish animation called Flea, talked about a few times before. That was given PG-13, which I thought was appropriate. It actually got quite away with a few F words, you know, about like which four of them.
Which film was this?
Flea. It's a from Denmark. But it's a lovely anime. It's about refugees. It's got four F words.
I remember telling me about it.
wartime conflict and dead bodies, but much of it you can see on like the evening news. Maybe I'm a little bit weird like this, but I'm generally not as censorious when it comes to sort of archive footage of war and conflict, because that's what you see on the evening news all the time. You can watch on News Now or Panorama on 8 o'clock. And then, on the flip side, with mature things, because I've hinted at this with Sound of Freedom, MPAA is actually more relaxed about it than us in the UK. Like, if a film deals with, let's say, with incest or rape or suicide, it can still be PG-13. You
Yeah,
just have to be careful how you depict it. And I'm like, that would have been possible. Because anytime, when I was growing up, I assumed that if a film dealt with topics like that, I've got to be a bit careful because I'm in public. It usually would be a 15. I, for a long time, thought if you said the word orgasm or you said the word euthanasia, it would push it to 15.
I mean, they do tend to be quite heavy on the whole suicide thing, or like things like sexual violence or anything like that. I don't know about using the word orgasm. I've always found the BBFC to be quite a little bit more lenient on sexual dialogue than, well, depending on context, I guess. Like I say, I've brought up fighting with my family multiple times, and while that was an uncut 12A in Britain, it wasn't an uncut PG-13 in America. Mainly, that could have just been them being stricter on a foreign movie, but Glee might throw that into disregard. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, every now and again they do sometimes slip up. There was a movie that was called like 4 Days and One Night, and it had Marion Cotillard. I was given a PG-13 for some thematic material, which is usually code for, I suppose, deals with suicide or depression. And it's that. It's actually a scene where a woman swallows pills and she goes to the hospital, but it passed at 15 here, and I'm like, gotta chill out on that a little bit, BBFC. I know it's sensitive material, but
I think they're
don't
chilling
be
a lot of
too
things.
harsh on mental health issues. They need to chill out a bit on that.
Well, yeah, I mean, in terms of like swearing in the frigging PG-13 film, it's probably the worst example of just how they've had no consistency and how they've just, I'll say push it to its limits, but pushed it beyond any form of limit they could possibly have, would be the film Gunner Palace.
Well, that's a sort of like once in a blue moon. That's never going to happen again. And they only passed it with an appeal on some sort of cultural, educational limit. They did it with Hip Hop Project, which I thought, Canada would have passed this easily at 14A. There wouldn't be any sort of complaints or concerns, but. I think their policy on language certainly needs some updating, because at the same time, like you said, that they've even slipped up a little bit with films like The American President, which has free fucks. The Taylor Swift movie I heard about by hearsay actually has four uses of the F word. Flea had four uses. As Good As It Gets has three uses, and The Martian has two. And people got up in arms about, oh, there's two uses of fuck. Well, Social Network did it, but I thought Social Network was more problematic in terms of its drug content, because we see cocaine sniffed on someone's bare torso than the swearing. It was oh, could have been almost
Quite
R.
surprising. They did allow four F bombs, so they might allow four uses of the F word actually at PG-13. Because I know five they won't allow. I know that from that film The Duke that I've mentioned in previous podcasts with Jim Broadbent and Helen Mirren. Do you remember me referring to that?
I sure do. It's actually a nice little movie about the TV license. Yeah, it is quite vulgar for a 12A, but I guess with King's Speech getting a 12A, and that's got like 17 uses of that word. I guess everything sort of
True.
goes really. And they
That
passed
was only
King's Speech 12A because of the
on
speech
appeal.
therapy contest. Yes, it wasn't meant to happen, but it did happen.
It's kind of almost like a reverse of that Gunner's Palace thing situation, Although they didn't actually do it for some sort of patriotic sweet talk or something. They did it more because, oh, it's for context of speech therapy. It's not really done vulgarly or aggressively or anything. You should be allowed to get upset 12A, to which, of course, the BBFC said, okay, you're right. All right, 12A for you. Unfortunately, the MPAA were not, were not so forgiving and just continued on with the old R rating. And of course, if you're on IMDb and you're looking in the parents' guide section of the King's Speech, you may be not entirely surprising to know that most European countries gave it remarkably liberal ratings. Obviously, it's got the tout public in France, no surprise there. In Germany, it's got the zero rating. So again, maybe not. Portugal, M12. What else we got? Spain, A. I don't know what the fuck that means. Switzerland, 7. Sweden, beat it. I don't know what that means. I should look it up on Wikipedia.
Beat it, I mean, all ages.
Right, well, there we go then.
Children.
Right, Netherlands, AL. That means all ages as well, I think. Italy has got a T rating, so I'm guessing that's a slight. And again, Finland originally was an S rating, but in 2016 it got re-rated to a K7, which means they put it in the same category as Paw Patrol. Anyway, I could be here all day. It just puts it in perspective.
Oh, it really does then. You know, other cultures don't have quite the beef with profanity and strong language like we do in the Anglophone world. It's a bit hard to explain to people from the outside, but even I don't know sometimes. Even I feel like I have to be careful even just saying the word putain when I'm in France or enfoiré, which certainly doesn't have the same sort of power in its UK equivalent, because putain is pretty much called like someone a fucking asshole, or enfoiré is like on the mother.
Well, the thing though, every time I'm watching I've watched a load of French films and everything, where that word putain is thrown around, mostly in a District 13 and its sequel, District 13 Ultimatum, and of course the word putain is mentioned quite a fair bit, but of course the subtitles always come up as various things like fuck and shit and all sorts of things. Of course, I Google the damn word, and of course it just apparently literally means whore, but it's just it can be used in many different ways.
That's pretty much swearing for you, which we talked about on previous podcasts. You know, the F word, it means something like, you know, making love, man and woman. But most people don't use that word in a sexual context. They use it just as sort of a free-for-all, like saying, fuck, man. Oh, look at this fucking thing. You get what I mean. It's throw about. English, what a weird language.
Oh, God, yeah. But then again, having silent Ks and a lot of the rules of English are very hard to think. If you look at the word apostrophe, it should be pronounced apostrophe.
Exactly, but I guess they took the Greek meaning of that word quite literally, like catastrophe. They didn't call it catastrophe, which the French way of pronouncing that would be catastrophe. So yeah, I know, we should reel that back into PG-13 stuff, not semantics. But as far as I'm concerned, well, actually for you, what is the mildest PG-13 movie you've seen? It's probably got to be like The Terminal.
No, I think it's what I mentioned earlier with the 2007 Golden Compass film.
Oh,
I mean, to the best of my knowledge, memory, I can't remember. There's probably one I could think up later, but that 2007 Golden Compass was. That was no way meant to be PG-13. I mean, that was fucking ridiculous. That had to be slapped. Again, if you look, I'm pretty certain if you do my usual trick of going on IMDb and checking in the parents' guide page, I don't want to keep on like a broken old record, it probably got a PG equivalent everywhere else in the world. I mean, got one here, got one in Australia, probably would have got. Hope I spell it correctly. Oh, this is bad. Where was I? Yeah, so...
Did it get like a 12 in Ireland?
I'm going to have a quick gander. Are you able to get onto IMDb right now?
Not at this moment. Actually,
right, well, anyway, carrying on. Well, maybe not. Yeah, it was a 12A in Ireland and a T in Italy. G in Japan, when I was surprised. 12 in Germany. Two poop again. No, two France again. No, but Australia and UK, both PGs. Argentina, 13. Australia, 10. Canada got PG as well, or a G in Quebec. Again, no surprises. Finland, K11. Well, maybe I'm not right. Because Germany, Hungary, 12s. Netherlands, 12. New Zealand, PG. Again, seeing a bit of a commonality here. Philippines, PG, 13. Portugal, M12. Oh, fucking hell, man. South Africa, PG. Then again, I don't really know how all these things sync up and everything. South Korea got essentially equivalent of a U rating. Sweden, 11. Spain, a 7. That sounds a bit more, more fitting. But seriously, I mean, if you go into a parent's guide, I mean, violence and gore, humans are accompanied by demons, blah, blah, blah. I suppose the fight between the two bears near the end might have been a bit intense, but it's very fantastical, and the goofy CGI and everything, not goofy, but removes any sort of real world or any sort of impact from it. So, yeah, again, it's such a PG film, the way I see it, or from I've only seen it once now, almost. Well, over 16 years ago, so I can't comment too much, but that it could be considered. I would never have ever thought a film like that could ever be considered for a 12A rating.
Well, maybe two theories going on here. One, Harry Potter movies were starting to become a bit more adult, and they all be sort of become PG-13 after, what's that one? Goblet of Fire, weirdly enough. And then also, two, atheism. There is some controversy about the book being some sort of manual or indoctrination guide to get kids off of God. And in America, religion is quite a difficult topic. I'm sure there's probably some sort of concern. Moms for Liberty types before they called themselves Moms for Liberty, who said, "No, you gotta get PG-13 because we don't like what the author is saying."
What's the thing though? The studio had already taken that into account when they made the film, and had absolutely neutered it of any of theological criticism to begin with. I mean, whereas like the book is one of the most unbelievable attacks on the Catholic Church, and by extension, and a lesser extent, Christianity in general. Oh, they completely sucked that out of the book and everything. They did it out of a TV series as well, and just made it some vague institution, which is sort of quasi-religious, but not exactly aggressively so, but not specifically so. Therefore, completely gutting the book, the story of all its meaning. And yeah, so that was all taken out. Part of me just thinks we made this thought that the MPAA is far too beholden to the Hollywood movie industry to just give them the ratings they want. And maybe they just thought, we can't have a PG rating. People think it's a little bitch movie. We want a PG-13 movie to make it look really cool and odd. So they just basically asked the MPA to give them a PG-13 rating, and they just did it. That's my theory.
Well, that it could be valid on that too. And I said about the Harry Potter thing, because a lot of those sort of young adult books were in mode at the time. Which I find kind of sad, really. I mean, I'd rather have 6 and 8 year olds watch Harry Potter than Twilight. You know, Twilight, that's a bit more for older YA audience than Harry Potter. But the fact that they're all sort of PG-13 still throws me off a little bit. I mean, you don't have to necessarily just upgrade a rating simply because it looks cool. I think we need to get this idea out of our heads. And this goes in England as well, that somehow if it's PG, only kids will want to see it. You know, back then it used to be if it was a U, only kids will want to see it. But how on earth do you explain stuff like the Jane Austen adaptations like Emma and Sense and Sensibility and Pride and Prejudice, they were for suitable for all ages and no one was complaining. Johnny English, that's a PG. No one was
True.
complaining. Mamma Mia was PG, PG-13 stateside, but no one was complaining.
Well, yeah, I mean, they do need some consistency with ratings and everything. I mean, I know obviously distributors will try and basically try aim to get the ratings they want. If they get a higher rating than they've asked for, they will try edit or cut it to get the rating that they want. And that's fair. That's just business. I mean, that is what it is. But like, I don't
Rock and
really
Horror.
think you can just see like a film and think, yeah, I mean, okay, there's n everything that's in there falls in the boundary of this particular category, but we know that, but it doesn't feel like that sort of film. It feels like this film, so we need to rate it that. It's like, fuck's sake, man. You know, have some consistency. And I've said this about the BBFC constantly, with it some like a lot of these horror films that the MPA that the MPA has given PG-13s to, which they felt the need to rate 15. It's like, yeah, why? It's a 12A film. I mean, a film like Drag Me to Hell, I can totally understand. Again, that's the MPAA being a twat. But like something like Happy Death Day or Megan, or I haven't seen Night Swim, but I bet it's mild as fuck. It's like, dude, that's a 12A film. You're just being dick, being pearl clutches.
Well, maybe because of social conditioning, I'm so used to seeing almost any horror film being a 15. If it does get a 12A, my alarm bells certainly do raise a little bit. I mean, 10 Cloverfield Lane. Now, I'm sorry I forgot to mention that one, but that was one of the strongest 12A films I've ever seen. PG-13 wise, it was pretty strong. I mean, we see some blood and self-harm. And the threat and menace was quite nasty. But yeah, that one was quite bizarre. And then, but then again, people sort of have early memories. The US doesn't do so PG-13 horrors. We had some 12-level horror films in like the early 2000s and maybe late 90s. That sort of came about. Even like when 12A was adopted, even had a few horror films that somehow slipped through the cracks, like Anaconda's Hunt for the Blood Orchid and Cry
That was a bit,
Wolf.
well, the first one of those, Anaconda, was renowned for being a lot more tamer, a lot tamer than the first Anaconda, which they used an example of how PG-13 was getting milder. Again,
Really?
the use example when
Oh.
it got a 12A as opposed to a 15. But again, I'm glad it got a 12A because of reasons I've explained earlier.
Well, I kind of get your logic there because, for a lot of British people, 15 means 15. You cannot come underage. In America, you can bring anyone to a PG-13 movie. They don't check ID at the door. But I think they should, maybe to some extent,
Well,
because I've seen some PG-13 movies that are quite nasty.
what's
Really,
the thing with
some of them
Pete?
worse than R films.
What's the thing? First of all, like you said, no one under 15 can go to a 15, even with their parents. Whereas with the R rating in America, if you're under 17, you just need to have a parent with you. So essentially, the R translates as 17A. The PG-13 isn't even as restricted as our 12A, because whereas 12A over here does require that under 12s are accompanied by an adult, the PG-13 doesn't. It's just purely advisory, and so all ages can go unaccompanied. Whether or not you think that's a good idea, I don't know, but they're not going to check IDs because they don't have to. Everyone's allowed in.
Growing up in the UK, I always sort of ignored the fact that I always assumed PG-13 meant you had to be 13 to go see it. But I didn't realize that until I did turn like 12 or 13 that, oh, you can see it underage. It's just an advisory category. But at the same time, because of the way the rating is so broad, you'll be left wondering at times, okay, that was fine, the terminal. Good fun. And then, so to watch something like Obsessed, which was a movie with Beyonce and Idris Elba, and it was actually an erotic thriller, had that concept. Fatal Attraction, obviously they toned it down for that PG-13 mark, and I thought, that could have been an R-rated film easily. There are
Wow.
some. You were saying?
Well, I mean, well, I don't really want to interrupt your thing, but in terms of, you mentioned how it was a tone, they cut it down for a PG-13. Of course, my mind always brings up Taken.
Well, that's another one. That movie angers me. I really don't like that movie because the way they censored it in both countries. You can't have a PG-13 movie about a guy who's finding vengeance because of her daughter being trafficked. That it does not sound good on paper at PG-13. That sounds like an R film.
Especially when he talks about how their intention is to get the girls addicted to heroin and then sell them on the sex slaves on the black market. And I'm aware it was like heavily cut down, everything, more so than it was cut down here just to get a 15 rating. I think there's only one scene was cut here to get a 15, whereas like they really took the scissors to it on did a hatchet and took a hat. Sorry, did a hatchet job on it, stateside to get a PG-13. But I mean, I'm just thinking, who the fuck looks at a film like that and thinks, oh, this needs to be rated PG-13? It's like, dude, that's an R-rated film. I mean, it's fully uncut version here. It was rated 18. I mean, granted, only due to one particular scene, but still.
Well, as it turns out, in my time I've been there, I've actually met people who literally do not watch rated R films, and most of them are Mormons. I don't know if LDS is a thing in the UK, but they're a group of people who,
Or
particularly
two.
like in Utah and Arizona and stuff, who, sort of very conservative. They're not quite like MAGA Republicans, but they're pretty conservative. They won't watch rated R films. They won't drink alcohol, smoke, or pornography, or they won't even drink coffee or Coca-Cola. They are some of the most strangest people I've ever met. But they were nice
Mormons
enough to
can't.
help my mother under my car.
Mormons can't drink hot drinks. I think. I'm surprised about Coca-Cola because it's a misconception that they can't drink caffeine when really the reason why they don't drink coffee or tea or is the same reason they don't drink hot chocolate. They're not allowed to drink hot drinks, which I don't know why Joseph Smith added that in, but yeah, Mormons are renowned for being the epitome of what we might call squares. Don't mean to be too snarky with that, but yeah. But yeah, I know. I've heard that America in some positions, especially in the more southern states, can be of, or more Midwest states, can be quite conservative and reserved in their
Oh,
thing
definitely
in
not. I
ways
mean,
that might betray America's image as this super cool and liberated place, which they tend to say that Europe is actually like, actually. But yeah, I mean. Yeah, a lot
it
of the.
varies really. It really varies. I mean, when we talk about these sort of issues, chances are the kind of people who are listening to this are probably people living in university towns or in the coasts, California, New York. They are not living in where my friend Matt is from. He's from Tennessee, where there, you have to be 18 to see a rated R movie. It was only by court order from because a lower superior court that they said, the MPAA says 17, it's a breach of the First Amendment. Yeah, that's quite bizarre, really. And then, like I said, with the Mormons in Idaho and Utah, you can't really watch rated R films according to the church, even though they still play them. But
Well,
their
you.
congregation is told you can't watch them. And then, like some of those extreme Christian groups, like the Seventh-day Adventists or some Baptist evangelicals, they're very strict. They won't even watch like some PG-13 movies. They won't even watch anything. Very
Well,
strict, and I can't
I have heard.
negotiate with that. I'm an Anglican, but I can't negotiate that. That's too hardcore.
Well, I'm an atheist and a secular humanist, so I mean, I don't give a fuck about any of that religious stuff. Yeah, I mean, I know you're interesting. You mentioned the bit that the Supreme Court came in and simply said, no, you can't implement that because it violates the First Amendment. It's like, when I hear that, I'm thinking, God, Americans can be lucky in that sense, because councils can just override BBFC ratings, and sometimes that's kind of for the best, as a case with the Batman and Five Nights at Freddy's with that Belfast council who dropped it to officially changed it to a 15A rating. And of course, in many cases with Spider-Man, and I think Mrs. Doubtfire, where a lot of councils dropped it to a PG just to, like, because they thought BBFC was being dicks. But sorry, BBFC, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. But yeah, that's a little off topic. But happy
I mean, they did that with This Is England. They I think it's Sheffield and a few places, they downgraded 15 from 18, and then a documentary called Northern Soul that they petitioned to get a 12A, but they got a 15 because of language, using the example of the King's Speech and claiming that, well, they didn't want to give it a 12A because the language used is by working class Brits in a sort of poor, rundown area, while King's Speech is quite sophisticated, rich, and there was huge pronunciation. Classism is rife in this country. It makes me sick.
Yeah, I am aware of. Yes, very aware of it. What you about said though, it got an, well, obviously it got an R in America, but it also did get an MA 15 plus in Australia. So again, I mean,
Yeah, that's a bit weird because Australians usually are pretty relaxed about swearing. They even pass
yeah.
Rocket Man with an M on the peel, that word rhymes with punt,
Yes, I know
which is one
exactly.
exceptional. So yeah, every now and
Yes.
again you can slip up. Trying to think of more PG-13 films I can think of, but well, for me, the most definitive PG-13 film probably would be like, am I wrong to say this, but like Without a Paddle. I know that's maybe a little bit on the harsher end because it's got the drug humor and there's some sort of frat boy humor. Sometimes it can veer towards homophobic. But that was one of my favorite 12A films. Then Alien Autopsy was another one. Those were both PG-13 movies. And Alien Autopsy actually has quite a bit of swearing in it. Like three or four uses of the F word. We even see a brief shot of pubic hair from a very far distance, male pubic hair. And then Alien Autopsy is my number one favorite 12
Not
PG-13
seen.
movie. Yeah.
I've not seen Alien Autopsy. I did watch Without a Paddle recently. I can't say too much about it. Did see. I mean, I remember watching it thinking, oh, it's a 12A rate. It's going to be quite to be quite mellow, and I remember it being quite mellow. I mean, I can't help but think that if we're going to talk about the PG-13, well, that's what we are talking about, PG-13, and there's a lot to dive into. Maybe we should go back to where it all began. And I don't mean like to the first film that got the PG-13 rating. We'll get into that in due time. But the two films that caused the PG-13 to come into existence in the first place.
Gremlins and Temple of Doom, Indiana Jones. Oh boy, where do we begin on that one? I'll let you have your say on this because you probably have seen a bit more of the 80s stuff than I have.
Right, I've seen Temple of Doom a few times. Yes, they are very, I mean, they are very strong movies. I can see why both 12 now. They couldn't be rated PG. Why do I say that? But like, you can't help but bring up Jaws. I can't say they're more violent than Jaws. I don't think they are. Have you seen either of those two films?
I've seen Gremlins, actually in a pretty funny film, but it's so silly at 15. I thought I could have been a 12, but 12 wasn't available at the time. The sequel got a
Yeah.
12, and even that felt like it was the same sort of content issues as Small Soldiers, which was PG.
Yeah, that was another PG-13 rating that We've got PGA. I think I did mention it earlier in the episode. I mean, I can see why those two. Part of me can see why those two films may have pushed the MPAA in America to create a buffer rating between PG and R. It clearly didn't seem to encourage the BBFC to do such a thing, as they didn't pick up that memo for another 7 years, and then they got it wrong. So, not 7 years, even 5 years, but yeah, God, what the fuck am I even talking about? Those are the two films that encouraged the creation of a PG-13. So maybe we should move on to the first film to be awarded the PG-13.
Well, there is some debate online whether it's Flamingo Kid or Red Dawn. But Red Dawn is the one people sort of remember comes to mind. You can even tell from the green card for the trailer from MPA. It says, awfully wordy. Parents are strongly cautioned to consider the suitability of this film for persons under 13. Now it's, you know, parents strongly cautioned. Maybe inappropriate for children, but it's just a lot more succinct. But I don't know if you've seen Red Dawn, but that movie sort of comes to mind when I think of dystopia. Sort of what-if moments, and especially with the Ukraine war, it's actually quite pertinent, even though people think it's a right-wing propaganda film. And it was pretty violent for its time. So the 15, if you see by BBFC, certainly makes sense.
Well, yeah, I mean, I realised they weren't going to give that a PG rating. I mean, but most of the time, I thought it would have been R rated. Granted, when I was watching it, I wasn't really thinking in terms of MPAA ratings. So I was just thinking, well, 15 is a 15. Yeah, I didn't really think in terms of that. But I'm really surprised that such a thing could be rated with a PG. 13. I think nowadays it wouldn't be rated PG-13. If that kind of film would be slapped with an R rating, or at least had to be edited down to avoid it.
I don't remember there being much in the way of blood, just like a lot of shootings and maybe sort of post-mortem detail. I think probably they gave it because they thought this is the perfect film for teenagers. And if they passed their R, it probably would have excluded them from coming to see with their fake IDs and their cans of Molson Light or whatever Americans drink. So yeah, weird world where if you want to appeal to teenagers, you've got to get the PG-13. All you could do is a rated R film, but they can't sometimes get in unless they get like fake IDs or something like that.
They get their parents to take them.
Exactly, but what kind of parent would take their teenage son to American Pie? I think there'd be a bit of cringe factor involved or something like that.
Well, I don't know. I've heard people from stories of people working in cinemas over here from parents who have been wanted to take their kids to see Deadpool. Oh, of course, they couldn't. But I mean, I've heard about those stories.
I know South Park was the big monster and the elephant in the room. I mean, I was that kid who wanted to see it, but I couldn't. I did see Wild Wild West underage, so I had the last laugh. And Watchmen I saw underage, too.
The irony of that is, I don't know if you've heard about this story, but I reckon a lot of in America, a lot of the tickets for Wild Wild West were just bought by kids who bought just simply using them so they could sneak in to see South Park and American Pie.
Oh, I certainly believe that. They said that about Freddy Got Fingered. That movie didn't do much business, but people bought tickets to whatever movie it was, or Crocodile Dundee in LA. But they actually went to sneak in to go see Tom Green act like a prat for about an hour and 30 minutes. Hilarious. But it wouldn't be possible in the UK because Wild Wild West was 12. And whatever the film that they chose to name, they get Freddy Got Fingered. I think that was a 12. And Crocodile Dundee was PG. Actually, weirdly enough, Crocodile Dundee, the first one, that was PG-13, but it had quite a bit of drug use. So you actually see someone snorting up And then he's like, gives a ball, you know, thought, oh, he's got like cold. But he's actually not, he's doing slow. And then I know, you know, people say, oh, America's puritanical, but they're actually quite lenient on drug use than I would say in the UK we are. If you've seen Ray Charles biopic or Starsky and Hutch, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I haven't seen those ones. I always felt that BBFC could chill out on drug usage a little bit. Just for again, I've always been
instances of people doing heroin in a PG-13 in my life, you know, but then Ray Charles came along, there was as much drug use as there almost was in Train Spotting. I was like, geez.
Although, having said that, they did, you know, I think the Social Network had a bit of a drug usage, which the BBFC let go at, at 12. I mean, you tend to, you know.
Anyway, no, you're right. I mean, you know, cocaine, that's hard. You don't see hard drugs in films that are below 15 or 18. That's just given. But seeing it in a 12 film kind of threw me off a little bit. It's like there was that movie Bedazzle with Brendan Fraser. That was PG-13.
Watched that recently, yeah.
Seeing, you know, him licking some white powder is like completely in Spanish. Yeah, and that's quite impressive.
Yeah, I watched that film recently. I think in the context of that actual scene though, it's not exactly a cause for concern, considering he was just testing the seeing what it actually was. I don't think it was actually
true, but it's just like, you know, usually if there's drug content in films at that level, it's usually sort of implied or incidental, or it's usually like soft stuff, like, you know, ganja. Most people have smoked ganja, which they do need to relax a little bit on that, considering America legalized in some of the states.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think ganja is a cannabis marijuana are ones that they are most boards are chillaxing on a fair bit.
I'm sure Canada certainly is. Any minute you'll be seeing a documentary on hydroponics, it's like PG or G. I got myself carried away a little bit. Now, kids, don't do drugs. That's what Ronald Reagan told you. And that's what even people at the Health Education Authority told you as well. But as far as I'm concerned, do you still have any more topics in mind? Because I might have to get going to my next thing. I'm really busy these days.
To be honest, I'm actually I think we've covered most of the things. I'll probably think of like a million things to talk about once this podcast is over, but I think we can always sneak them into our next one.
Absolutely.
But no, I guess we've talked about it. We've covered all the aspects of PG-13. Well, that can be reasonably covered in a podcast. It'll be here all day if otherwise. That's sorted and done for this one.
Same here. I still am on my belief that Barbie and Boy in the Heron should have been PG, but I can't really debate on that one. I think we said that one to infinity already.
Yeah, very, very probably.
Well, you said the sex references in Barbie maybe were a little bit too frank, and then Boy in the Heron had that scene where kid smashes his head with a rock.
Ooh. Yeah, that was a bit strong. I mean, maybe a PG in the 90s, but not now.
Whatever works, I suppose. Well, thank you for listening nonetheless, for anyone who's watching or whatever you're doing. We're going to be doing one on the use certificate, and hopefully we're going to censor that to bits to where we make it actually to U-level standards. So there won't be any swearing or topics about sex or drugs on that one, really. Well, maybe we might talk about tobacco and people drinking pims. That's about it. All right, then. Thanks for stopping on by.
All right, well, thanks for having me, and have a good day.